right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Susnow.
Everybody, this is Mark Susnow. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and every week I have different guests who I find are inspirational, have something to offer me, offer you, and I do my best to attract these kinds of people so that you know you learn something from my show, you get inspired, you get excited. And this week I decided to invite myself to be the guest, because I have a new book out called The Soul of Uncertainty. It's coming out February 1st, and it's about what we're all experiencing, is how to find peace in the midst of the uncertainty that's going on in our life right now. And a lot of you are concerned about the election, you're concerned about your economics, about your health care, and it's a lot of people are freaking out. But my book is inspirational, and it really tracks the story of a young man's life through all these different phases, through his childhood, and he becomes an adult, becomes a family man, and his journey, his quest to find inner peace. And many people consider The Soul of Uncertainty a fable for our times. And what I thought was, so I just didn't want to interview myself and do the whole thing, so I asked my good friend, Doug Newsom of BBS Radio, to kind of join me and kind of play my alter ego. So thanks, Doug, for joining me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you, Mark, for asking.
Yeah, it was something that, you know, we always have interesting conversations. And kind of let's just talk about what comes up for you when you think about uncertainty.
Boy, stress.
Stress. Okay.
Worry.
Worry.
Yeah. I think that's probably one of the biggest problems facing most people today. Just like the elections, the stress over what will happen next. What are the ramifications on my life?
Right.
You know, these are probably the most important things to anybody. Is the idea that there's worry and stress in their lives, they don't know what to do.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, as you know, I've been now in this field of really talking to people and motivating them and helping them finding a certain level of inner peace, and I've been doing this now for almost 17 years, ever since the new millennium, and I find that a lot of this is underneath it all, there's this feeling of, can I make it? A lot of people just feel like, you know what, if this happens, I can't make it. I won't be able to take care of my kids. I'll be homeless. And when we start to worry like that and have the stress, what happens is we become irrational. And so what I like to do, what I suggest to people is to, if something's really bothering you, to really look ahead and say to yourself, what's the worst that can happen? And ask yourself that question. And then ask yourself, what's the likelihood of that occurring? And when you ask that question, what's the likelihood of that occurring, what it does, it kind of takes you out of the irrational mode into a more objective mode. So you're no longer in this self-hypnotic state. Instead, you're more looking at this objectively, and you go, you know, the likelihood of this happening is not that great. And then I ask somebody, well, what if things worked out better than you imagined? What would your life look like? would your life look like then if things worked out better than you imagined? So that's what I suggest to people, is to, you know, start to think, well, what if things worked out better? Because what's interesting, you know, we're kind of imagining the best case scenario, but worry, right? Worry is also the use of our imagination. And if we have active minds, we can be great worriers. And somebody, I don't think there's anybody that I've worked with now in the last 17 years that doesn't worry more than they like. And usually it's a lot of times it's related to economics.
Well, how do you embrace the idea of change? Change, most people try to avoid it at all costs, companies, countries. Individuals, the idea of change is scary. We get in our comfort zone, and anything that changes that comfort zone leads to stress. How do you put yourself in the frame of mind to take on the idea that change is okay?
Right, and that is so true. And as you know, my last book was Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes, and I had these eight principles that I talked about. And Soul really talks about some of these same principles, but more in terms of a story. And in what I thought was to help people get this sense of how do they deal with change? What is, like, first of all, it comes from inside, and same thing with change and uncertainty. I think of what happens with a lot of people is they think that when this current situation is resolved, whatever, you know, the change they're afraid of, and they think that, you know, if I could just get through this moment, that my life will be on cruise control. But it doesn't work that way, because there's always going to be a new challenge. So I think the most important thing is to realize that the current thing that's bothering you, right, even if you have a current solution, it's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to really solve your dealing with the unknown. So really, this unknown is scary for a lot of people. So what I've done in Soul, and I think as we were, you know, before the show started, I started thinking about Soul and what if we just looked at that word Soul, and because we are talking about the soul of uncertainty, that uncertainty that you know, is with young little kids. Am I good enough? Can I make it? And my father died when I was very young, and I used to worry, you know, were we going to survive? Would my mother die too? I used to have all these fears. And so how do we develop this inner technology? And I think that, so I looked at the word soul. And actually, to be honest, you know, it's some of these ideas are in the book, but not like this, not just in one word. So let's just look at the word soul, and the S of soul. I'm looking at it now as an acronym. The S stands for stillness, silence. So I think if every day, right, you're looking at how can I deal with change, it's change is out there, but what's inside of you every day is how to find peace for, say 10 minutes. What if you every day started your day with inner peace? And that's what I'd encourage you to do. Find that stillness inside. Find that stillness. Take time. It's the best investment you can ever make. And so you say, well, how do we find that stillness? Because when we're still, we're not thinking about the fear of change. Don't you think so?
I totally agree with you. Probably,
yeah. You know, if there's something like, for example, if you're like, say, an athlete, you're totally in the moment. If you're a rock climber, I talked to somebody today, one of my coaching clients is a rock climber, and he said when he's rock climbing, you know, he doesn't think he can't think about anything else because he'll fall. He has to be totally in the moment, and it's that stillness to where there's nothing else. So to develop this inner system of going inward every day, and the people I work with, I suggest that they start with 5 days, 5 minutes of this inner process. And so what I did, I got into meditation when I used to be a trial lawyer many, you know, 40 years ago. I'd meditate every morning for 20 minutes, and then I'd go out and start my day and do whatever I had to do. But at least I had that 20 minutes of where I didn't worry about change. I didn't worry about uncertainty. I didn't worry about the unknown. So I gave myself that gift of going inward. And when I got into meditation, was not as widely talked about like it is today. I mean, today, you know, corporations have meditation classes, which is amazing. The word mindfulness, again, all these organizations talk about mindfulness and the mindful leader, the mindful this, the mindful that, or it's just a word now that everybody uses, be mindful. And what it is being more aware. But to be more aware, you have to take this time to be silent. And there are lots of books. Eckhart Tolle talked about the power of now. So find time for stillness. And again, to go inward, and then again, this idea of worried about change, is be grateful for what you have, right? Because we don't know what the future is going to bring. So at least for 10 or 20 minutes every day, give yourself that gift of silence. And so then focus on what you're grateful for. And you start to focus on what I call the gratitude basics, your health. You have a place to live, the love in your life, and whatever that is. It might even be from a pet. I know my dog. I love my dog. And you don't know where the love's going to come from, but it has to start with you. It's not somebody out there that's going to give it to you. You got to give it to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. And so be grateful for the love in your life, and then start to use the gratitude for more or less creating things you want more of in your life. Because what happens is what we focus on expands. Right, so if we focus on, let's say, prosperity, we focus on our abundance, all of a sudden we attract to us more abundance in our life. And that's really what we start to do. So if you take time for the stillness and silence every day, that's a great first step in helping you deal with the change and the uncertainty and the unknown in your life. So I'm using this idea of the word soul as a kind of a guideline, an acronym for us to kind of explain what the soul uncertainty is all about. So, Doug, I want to ask you a question. And I know you haven't really heard this before because I just thought about it, you know, a little while ago. What do you think in the word soul? What do you think the O stands for?
Good one. Openness?
Oh, my God. Doug, are you sure I didn't tell you this? I mean, that's what I have. I have openness and vulnerability. But, yes, it's openness. It's being open to new ideas, to new possibilities. Because, you know, with all the changes going on, you know, I mean, it's very possible that a lot of times things are going to be better than they were before. Because we get stuck in these comfort zones. We let our resistance run our lives. And so what we have to do is to be open to new possibilities. And who knows what's going to happen. To new friends. To new love. Sometimes a relationship's over. And we hang on and we hang on and we hang on thinking that, you know, it's going to turn around and something's going to change. You know, as opposed to letting go. But you know, the reason that we stay in a lot of these toxic relationships and these dead end careers is because we're afraid. We're afraid of the unknown, and so this fear of the unknown really, you know, holds us back. So I think you have to be open to new possibilities and be vulnerable. Be vulnerable in terms of reaching out, making new friends, putting yourself out there, sharing, you know, what you love, sharing your passions, sharing yourself. And so that actually sharing could be also part of the S in this acronym I just came up with. So come back to openness and vulnerability. So that's, thank you for your perception on that one. So.
Well, I think the acronym is coming along beautifully. I think those are two extremely important words: stillness and openness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I'm interested,
Doug,
to find
I'm
out
like,
what the U stands for.
I know. And you know, I kind of that took me a little longer, the first two ones, but I did have some notes here. And you know, maybe the word I'm thinking of is maybe not really a real word, but I made it into a word, and you know, I gave myself the liberty of doing that. So, do you have any ideas what the U might be?
Well, I'm your book title, perhaps, Uncertainty.
Aha. Uh-huh. Doug, you're like a rocket scientist here. I just, you know, it's like, that's actually, you know what, believe it or not, that isn't what I wrote in my notes, you know. But it's like but yes, to embrace the U would be to embrace uncertainty, right, which we've talked about. But I think what I had in mind, and definitely you're right, you know, the U is uncertainty, to embrace uncertainty. But the U really, what I really had in mind was to unattachment. Now, I don't even know if that's really a real word. I know what they're,
sure,
detachment. I don't know if unattachment's a real word or not. But this idea of not getting attached to certain outcomes, because I think that's what causes disappointment, is we have an expectation, you know, and we're attached to the way we want things to be. And so when we get attached to, you know, the way we want things to be, we're disappointed and we're distraught. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Buddhist teachings that talk about how life has suffering. And until we learn to let go, and what causes the suffering is our attachment to a certain way of being, to, you know, our looking. I mean, that's why sometimes people are freaked out as they get older. You know, they're like, oh, my God, that's me? What happened to that guy that was, you know, had all that hair 20 years ago? What happened to that guy that looked this way, or whatever? What happened to, back then? I was like this. I was this kind of person, and now look at me. You know, is to accept, but not to be too attached to. So often we get attached to the way things were, and we start to make sometimes what was in the past greater than what's going on now. So I would say that one of the keys to, you know, finding peace in uncertainty is not be attached to the way things were. And so you have any thoughts about unattachment?
You know, that's interesting, because I believe that as a lot of guides, Buddhists, Hindu, some of the greatest minds in the world, not minds, but meditators, probably were unattached. They probably feel that a level of unattachment is important even to your emotions. The idea that you shouldn't, you know, you don't have to give an emotional emotions to a thought or an idea. So, yes, I think the idea of being detached, unattached, is important in order to probably process it, or just to feel it in a different way, on a rather than on an emotional level.
And you know what happens is that when I give talks and I talk about this, people said, well, don't you think it's important, you know, to have goals and to have values and things that are, you know, to have meaning in your life? How can you have meaning and values if you're not, you know, if you're not attached to a certain way of being? And there's some validity to that. But what's really important is it's, you know, have goals and have dreams and have visions, but don't be attached to them, because what happens is you can, and that's kind of part of the story, and the soul of uncertainty is this, you know, our main protagonist character, who I call Buddy, meets this modern-day mystic, Mervyn, and all through his life, Mervyn keeps reappearing. and kind of Buddy updates him with his life, and Mervin gives him new guidance. And actually, the way to describe it is that, you know, a young man meets a modern day mystic, and an unexpected road trip of the soul begins. And that's what happens. This adventure, this spiritual adventure starts, and we have to keep finding new ways to keep experiencing ourselves. And sometimes and this is what Buddy thinks, that by finding his life purpose, that his search for real meaning and purpose will be over, and he decides to become an environmental lawyer. And what happens is that for a while he's satisfied, but then he gets disillusioned again, and he finds out that what gave him purpose at one time no longer gives him that same sense of fulfillment. So it's this idea that we have to let go, be unattached, and something new, and allow something new to come in, allow the space for something new. And so that's really what this idea of not be attached to a goal, because you know what? You're going to get the goal. You have a goal, you'll achieve it. But then what's going to happen is that you're going to have a new goal, a new challenge, and you're going to go for that. So that's what happens, is we're always going to have new goals, and we have to be willing to let them go. So do you, L, what do you think that stands for?
Well, that's got to be love.
Oh, my God, Doug, you are like, you got it. You got it. Are you sure you didn't read my mind before the show started?
I might be a little bit psychic.
Yeah, I think you are. Yeah, love. I mean, yeah, love and love. Allow love in, and again, I'm so big on loving yourself, because we're, you know, sometimes we think we need this special person to love us. And because we don't have that, we feel that we're, you know, less inadequate, that we're not whole, that we're not worthy. And it really starts with loving yourself, and then you can allow other people to love you. And so love is so huge. But what happens is loving yourself kind of gets a bad rap, you know. People think, well, wait a minute, if you love yourself, you just care about yourself, you're narcissistic, and you're so self, and you're self-centered. But the truth is that you can't really love another person until you love yourself. And it's this idea of people, you know, there's this big concept of, you know, and I, again, this is the whole thing about the relationships that Buddy has in the book with different lovers about, you know, is there like a soulmate out there for you, for us? And it's a whole other topic. I know when I was younger, I used to, you know, think that there is a soulmate out there. Now, you know, as I've been through life, and I'm not so sure. And you know what? It's got to be with yourself. Again, coming back to this idea, to love yourself. So when you meet a special person, it's not to complete you. It's to help you celebrate the love in your life with them. It's somebody to celebrate with, not to complete. It's somebody to celebrate your completeness inside yourself. And that's how I see love. It's something to share. It's not something that you need to be whole. And so that is my way of us getting this sense of what is the soul of uncertainty.
Well, in the little time you put together this acronym for soul, I think you did a marvelous job.
Well, thank you.
Really, really. I mean, I've gotten the chance to get to know you over the past 6 months, a year, and it's been incredible. Your energy, the sense of peace that emanates from you, the sense of joy and real purpose, meaning that you convey to others in your understandings of the soul and finding happiness are really remarkable. You've really made this life journey and sharing it with others very empowering. And I've got to take my hat off to you. I think you're a fantastic individual. I'm not the only one who'd think this way. Almost probably everybody that gets to know you would wish to be more and more like you in your attitudes. I'm glad you're my friend.
Well, thank you, Doug. That really means a lot to me because I've you know really appreciated our relationship and I've gotten to know you, and I know that we even though we've never actually met face to face, we have, and a lot of times our conversations are brief about you know more of a you know about the radio show. I find that you're definitely an interesting man, and you have a certain vibrancy about life that I think is very contagious, and I'm honored to be part of the BBS network. So I really appreciate our connection.
I truly appreciate that. Thank you kindly, Mark. I really appreciate that.
And also thank you for taking the time this afternoon to kind of give me an opportunity to kind of flush out my ideas about you know what's important to me and about my book that's coming out in a few weeks, and I encourage everybody to get a copy. It's going to be on Amazon and they can contact me through my website, inspirepossibility.com, and get a hold of me through the BBS network. Just go to BBS Radio and look for the Inspire Possibility show. And so you've also, in a way, helped me get this all together. I mean, I never knew. I think I shared with you about how, you know, things kind of, we don't know how things are going to go. And my last guest on Wednesday called in very, very late in the show. And by then, the show I had scheduled was pretty much done. And then I started to think about, why not just take this time to do a show for about the book and to share with other people. So this kind of helped me kind of put it all together. And if that didn't happen, the disappointment, let's say, or I wasn't really that disappointed, but whatever happened on Wednesday, if that didn't happen, it wouldn't have motivated me for you and I to have this conversation now. And also, you know, it's just like I must have talked to you a couple hours ago and I say, hey, Doug, will you do me a favor? You know, would you join me in this call? So I want to thank you again for, you know what, for your, the O in the soul, openness. And also for you not being attached to, you know, what other things you had to do. And for the love
that
you...
You know, that's it. The you representing you. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, even
yes.
The unexpected.
Yes, that, by
you
the way,
so
that was on the
list. You have so many good words. In your book. But I like the acronym idea. I really do.
Yes. I'm gonna say for this show, for this interview, for this message, I'm going to say goodbye, you know, to you and to my listeners, and not only say goodbye, but to say hello, and that, you know, there's always endings and beginnings, and, you know, another way of looking at endings and beginnings are transitions, and I think we're entering this new phase of transition. And when I think of transition, I definitely think of possibilities, and that's kind of, you know, part of my whole thing of when I came up with you know, the name for my business, Inspire Possibility. We're always full of new possibilities, but if we're not open to them, and we're not really willing to allow love in, we're never going to experience that. So, again. Mm-hmm. You know, for all of you out there, remember about the soul of uncertainty. Discover what it is, and you can also contact me. I do work with people individually. I speak to groups, and if you want to go deeper in this work and deepen this conversation, I welcome you to contact me at mark@inspirepossibility.com, or just email me at mark@inspirepossibility, or look at the website, inspirepossibility.com. So thanks again, and I want to say goodbye. And thank you again, Doug, for being my, I don't want to say guest, but my co-navigator, my co-host.
Well, you're a true, as your book states on the back cover, I believe it, you're a thought leader, a life strategist, and a very warm and beautiful human being, and I would truly encourage everybody to get to know you. To find a man like you in their lives is one in a million, and I appreciate you. Thank you kindly, Mark, for inviting me today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.